Let's read verses 1 through 7 of Psalms 91. There we go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. There's a subject has been on my mind. I've been preaching about the tale of the dragon. And somehow God has been making something real to me that has never been real to me before. Never. It's never been made real to me. And that is the afflictions coming on the earth in the last days. It's never been real to me. I've read of them. I know where they are. I know the trumpets of Revelation. I know the vials of wrath of Revelation. I know the book of Zephaniah, places in Isaiah where it says the earth shall stagger to and fro and be removed. But it's never been really real to me for some reason. And just of late, it all seems comes flooding under me. I have right out there now in the car, I have two different visions that were sent to me just today by people. You know, the Lord wanted us to tell you this sort of thing. One that I received a few days ago was very powerful. It wasn't even signed. The person just signed it with a Greek letter, pi. He says, I'm a Jewish believer. The Lord told me to share this dream with you. And as these, in that particular dream, it just brought home to me so clearly the terror of the end time. In this dream, this Jewish believer was brought back away from the earth and could see the earth at a distance, and then began to approach it. And I don't know whether it was even male or female. This Jewish person said, as I looked, and this whole letter had a very solid tone to it. It was a very solid, mature, spiritual person. Said there was nothing green. There was no water. There was very little food. You could see tunnels in the earth and smoke coming out of them. And every once in a while it would rain, but it wasn't raining water. It was raining fire. So there'd be just a sprinkling of fire. And that's what Revelation teaches. And this person said that I saw the people, but they looked like new wave people. They had no hair. Their skin was very thick and scaly, and they were trying to live on the earth in this condition. And you know, people, that's real. That's real. That's what the Bible teaches. Close to the extinction of all life. It's never been clear to me before for some reason, and I see the great many things, and my burden tonight, what I want to talk to you about, is twofold that I think is the Lord's message for us tonight. One is the horrors of the end time, and the other one is the provisions that God has made. And you can see the terrible damage that the pre-tribulation rapture teaching has done by leaving us with the impression that somehow God loves us so much that he won't let us even be exposed to these things. See, this whole thing is a delusion. This whole concept that God will not let Christians suffer, this is a delusion. Because if you believe that, you're going to sin in this end time. I tell you, you're going to sin. If you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're going to sin because you're not going to have enough sincerity that is going to, because you see, the demon inroad today is tremendous. And people that have never fallen before and would never dream of falling are today talking about going right into adultery. It's just as though men's eyes are blinded, and you can't believe the things that are happening. Every time you turn around, some minister has fallen into adultery or in a fornication. And it's widespread. It just seems that people that I talk to, no matter where I go, or I contact people from different parts of the world, and those from America say the same thing over and over. Oh yes, that happened in my town. Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes, it's so discouraging. Everywhere I turn, there's nothing but sin. Now, I think the rapture has had a great deal to do with that. Because, you see, it has given the people a feeling that God is not as angry and not as willing to cause people to suffer as the Bible says that he is. And in order, and the burden that I'm going to be preaching on tonight and have started on, is simply this. Terrible times are coming beyond anything that I'll be able to portray. Days of such trouble are coming that mankind shall be in danger of extinction. You know, sometimes we think what is established is inevitable. It's not. I remember reading the Adullam children vision, and in that vision, the Lord Jesus said to the Adullam children, these orphans in China in the 30s, as the revelation of God was coming to them, and the Lord said, I had planned two great calamities to come upon man, but because their wickedness is so bad, I have added a third. So you see, it isn't all frozen in ice, you know. It isn't just frozen. The thing is fluid. And man's behavior today in America is incredible. It is incredible. Somebody was giving me a statistic a couple of days ago that in San Diego County alone, there are 2,200 reported cases of child abuse. 90 a day. Between, it's either 22 or 2,700. 90 a day in one county. The American people are brutalizing their own children. That's just one county. That's not 2,200 in the United States. That's San Diego County. What is this city called? The finest city in America. 2,200 reported cases of substance. And half of these are prosecuted by the district attorney, and the other half the parents go for counseling. They're not counting the rumors and, you know, somebody getting even with their girlfriend or something, but substantial cases of child abuse in San Diego County. Now, what do you think God's attitude is toward the United States of America? We are facing, and that's what I keep. If the prophets keep saying, one recorded lately said, I was caught up to the throne room, and God said, if the whole world were to repent, there's not enough repentance to take care of the condition that America is in. So, brothers and sisters, you say, what are you doing, a gloom and doom preacher? No, I'm not a gloom and doom preacher. I am faithfully telling you that we are in bad trouble. And that enormous, you know, a couple of years ago, the Lord gave me a little insight on what it would be like to live in a heat that you couldn't get away from. No matter where you went, you couldn't get away from. And I realized that you would immediately begin to dig. See, if there was no way, it is a terrible thing to be warm and not to be able to get cool. And you see, if there was no water, the water was turned to blood, and God stepped up the light of the sun. And do you know what it says in Revelation? Men shall seek death. And that is the love and the kindness of God, that we have death. When we hurt bad enough, we have at least have death to rely on. We can only suffer so much and then we die. But it says, men shall seek death and it shall flee from them. So you don't even have the refuge of death. You have nothing. Nothing. Nowhere to go but to just burn. And this, people, is reality. The same Bible that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That same Bible, that same Spirit of truth, that same Holy Spirit of God says, men shall seek death and it shall flee from them. So what we need to do is ask God, number one, to purge from our minds the error of the rapture and of grace as it's preached, the perversion, and of God's love and goodness as it's preached, the perversion of it, the perverting of it in a humanistic form, and ask God to cause us to see and feel what the Bible is saying. Because the Bible has been sealed, and the seal is coming off. You remember in Daniel? These things will be sealed until the last days. The seal is coming off, and we can see what God is saying. And God has made provision for us. But it is not a light provision. It is not as is preached, we picture ourselves eating hamburgers and french fries and waving the wand and nothing can touch us and it's all going to be miraculous. It's not going to be like that. A lot of people are going to die. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. The blood is going to run. Come on, this is the best word in the world to go into the holiday season. The best word. Remember, we are living, we are walking on thin ice, and there's something we can do about it. And it's not to get under the bed and tremble. It's not to get angry at God. It's not to get angry at the preacher. It's not to holler, oh, that's gloom and doom. It is to see to ourselves that we are on speaking terms with Jesus. Because these things are real, and all the bravado in the world, you say, well, I can face it. You know, I've faced everything, and boy, I can face this one. No, you can't. You can't. There's times when you hurt so much you give up. And that's what's coming. And men will just scream in their agony for God, and the whole earth is going to be turned into a charnel house because God's wrath is mounting every day. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? Or would you rather I come to make up something? Huh? Want me to make up a Thanksgiving message and preach it with 3 points and a conclusion? Or do you want me to tell you what God is speaking in the spiritual realm? Praise the Lord! Now, we mean to preach God's Word. Now, I want to show you something about this great tribulation and hold Psalm. I think we're going to be in Psalm 91 tonight. But I want something came to my mind while I was just talking in Revelation chapter 7. Stan, if it gets too hot, turn down the thermostat, would you? It's hard for me to gauge it up here. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, and all tribes, and people, and tongues. Revelation 7 verse 9, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, Those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they, and from where have they come? And I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. Now, have you ever come out of anything? Did you ever come out of the bathtub? Wringing wet? Now, let me ask you something. Does that or does that not imply that at one time you were in the bathtub? Did you ever come out of a room? Does that mean you were in the room or not? Huh? The expression means we were in it and we came out of it. And these are people who were slain during the tribulation. You see the language? They have come out of it. They didn't come out before it. They came out of it. They were slain. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, people, the problem with the tribulation and the judgment that is coming, the problem is not that we suffer. People always suffer. You want to see the busiest place in town? Go to the hospital. Try to find a parking place. Just try. Go up to Palomar this time, right now. What is it? 7:25. Try to find a parking place at Palomar. You'll be out in the street somewhere. There isn't any. Go to Kaiser, Zion. Go down there this time of night. Go down on Zion and try to park. You're not going to park. You know why? Because in these huge buildings are full of people that are hurt, that are in pain, that are walking around with catheters, that are in surgery right now. Some of them are dying. So we get an illusion when we're healthy that everything is all right. Brother Dow just went through an operation that causes enormous pain. He's going from that right into another operation that causes enormous pain. Boy, you could wish you were dead at the things that happen. Someday we're going to have an earthquake while people are there with catheters, while people are halfway through some of these very delicate examinations. While people are in the midst of open heart surgery in Strong Memorial, there's going to be an earthquake. While people are there in traction with weights on their head that are hung from things screwed into their skull. And as I watched David with that 15 or 20 pound weight, and he was stretched out there, and I thought, Jesus, if we have an earthquake now, it'll tear his skull off. It'll throw the nurses out, but they can't do anything, and then those weights will just pull that thing. Say, what is he talking about? I am trying to show you reality. I am trying to show you that people all over the world are always suffering. It seems like those who are not are the minority. And the problem with the Great Tribulation and these other things is not suffering. People always have suffered. The problem is that we lose our soul. That we turn from God. And if we don't get our act together in these days when we see these things coming and our relatives slain and people slain, we are going to fall. And that's the danger. It's the spiritual problem. There's no problem really in an eternal sense with your body. So people always suffer is what I'm trying to tell you. That life is suffering. Right while we're here now, there's any number of mothers that are weeping because their child is dying of leukemia. Right now, and you know it and I know it. That's reality. So that's just the experience of people saved and unsaved alike. Isn't that right? The problem is holding on to your salvation in the midst of these things. Do you see? If we're not strong now, we're not going to be able to stand when these things break loose, and they are going to break loose. And what was the response of these people around the throne? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The things that were so destructive turned to them for glory because they sought the Lord and they did not fall into the hands of the evil one, as is going to happen in the days to come when there's persecution, economic problems. People are going to be fall into it because we're trusting money. Now, notice this. This reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more. Why? Because hunger will be a problem. There's going to be worldwide famine. We don't know what it's like to be hungry. Our problem is with overweight. But being hungry is a terrible thing. But these people will not hunger anymore because they have been true to God in this time. They shall not thirst anymore. There's coming drought, and the prophets have been predicting drought in the United States. Drought is worse than hunger. To have no water to drink is a terrible thing. To be in a place where the springs were dried up and the water was dried up and the heat of the sun increased is a pain beyond the mind of man to imagine. You can't get away from it. God gave me a taste of that and showed me what that's like. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat, because that's going to be the problem. The world is going to go out in fire. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Now we have got to arm ourselves. We're going into such a time of history, a time of trouble, a time of suffering, and we have got to arm ourselves beforehand and get so strong in the Lord that no matter what happens, we're going to serve the Lord. If we die, we're going to serve the Lord. But our minds are on it. And listen, if in your heart tonight there's any love of the world, there's any love of sin, or love of self-will, you are not going to make it. It's going to be too hard for you. You've got to get your program tightened on down hard. That's why God is warning us. There's 10,000 topics in the Bible I could preach to you tonight. This is what God is talking about. We look again in Revelation chapter 13, isn't it? 14 it is, 14. All right. Now notice in verse 9. And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead, upon his hand. And listen, people, we are close to that. We are close to that. There are systems now that are based on the social security number that are being fed into computers, and I'm not talking, I was talking about something I read recently in an extract from the U.S. News and World Report, not out of some evangelistic tale book, that they are trying now to get more information concerning every taxpayer on the basis of his social security number so they can clamp down on the people that are not paying their income tax. But in the meanwhile, they're picking up information on everybody. And for the first time, private information is being fed to governmental agencies, and this is happening without our knowledge. So that all they have to do is touch a computer and they put up your social security number and it has your whole history. Well, that's all right. There's no problem. If you're an honest taxpayer, there's no problem. What they're after is the cheats. But with that kind of a binding system, it will be a very easy matter for if things go sour at a governmental level to cut off your economic water unless you behave yourself. A simple matter. The techniques are there. They're moving that way all the time. Now, it doesn't seem much at this time because we can still go to the store. But what if you couldn't do it without taking some kind of a mark that you felt in your hand, you felt in your mind was wrong? Look at the penalty. He, verse 10, he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire. This fire keeps appearing over and over. And this is something you can't get away from by death. In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night. You can't sleep. You can't get refuge in sleep. It's a constant heat all the time. You say, that's a million miles from me. No, it's knocking on your door, and I'll tell you why. Because we're so used to a cash flow that if you do something that jeopardizes that, we have no place to go. We're going to starve to death. And we are not up to speed, and by we, I don't mean we in this church, I mean we Christians in America are not up to speed where we'll say, I'll starve rather than take your thing. Especially if it involves milk for your baby. See, we don't understand the sternness of God. The humanism and evangelical teaching has perverted and has harmed our perception, so we cannot see what God has said shall be true. You say, somehow, this doesn't apply to me. It does. And we're being warned now so that we will not be careless. And you see, we're a long way into it. Without realizing it, in the charismatic move, we are a long way into the things that God has warned us about. The television, the fact that God's Holy Ghost, tongue-speaking people would sit down and watch such a den of iniquity as a television, shows you how asleep we are. If we were on our toes with Jesus, the moment that stuff come on, I'm not talking about the news and this stuff, and sometimes that, but even the commercials, the moment that came on, we would say, Jesus! And we would never let our children watch it. But you see, we're numb. We think, well, it won't happen in another day. And this is Thanksgiving, and then after Christmas, I'll get consecrated. And what I'm saying is the time is drawing near, and we don't realize it. And God is saying, wake up, it's later than you think. And the penalties for disobedience are enormous. You can't conceive of the smoke of your torment going up forever, or of you having no rest day or night. And what I'm telling you is it can happen. There's something about our human makeup, and this has been proved by research, that we don't believe anything really bad will ever happen to us. But things do, even in the world, don't they? Today you're okay, you turn around tomorrow and somebody in the family's got cancer. And it's just like that. And you join the group down at Kaiser or in Pomerado. You know, there's a tremendous fellowship among people. I know we've had a couple of incidents within the last 2 years in our family. And I tell you, there's a fellowship of people. And they're not like people out on the street. They're people with a problem or with a loved one with a problem. You realize, hey, you know, there's no exception made here. It strikes us all. And anybody can hurt. So God is saying, get ready. God has never executed his judgment on the earth. That the one from the rebellion of the angels. We had Noah's flood, but as far as what God has filled up the evil of man, the flood is nothing compared to what's coming. Nothing. Drowning is an easy death. Easy. I almost drowned once up in Old Orchard Beach in Maine. I almost drowned. There's some careless people. I was a little boy. I still remember. That's a blissful death. Blissful. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Tormented with fire, you can't get away from it. Let's go back to Psalm 91 now and see what God says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Now, what does that mean? That means that over every person who is seeking the Lord, there is a covering. But it does not mean that everyone that says Romans 10:9 and 10, there is a covering. It's those who are dwelling, who are walking in prayer, who listen to the word that's coming forth today and are acting on it. Those people are under the covering of the Lord. The rest are not under it. The nominal Christians are not candidates for Psalm 91. It does not apply. It tells you right in the first verse where it applies. He who is dwelling in the shelter, that is walking in Jesus. If you are not, you are wide open to the things that are coming. If there is softness in your life, you're saying, I'll put it off, I'll get consecrated later, and your mind is full of the world, and you know it's full of the world, I counsel you to stop and fast and pray and get on your face before God. If it takes 10 days without food, break that yoke in your life. Break it. Because it is going to pull you into torment. See to it that it's broken. If you feel yourself wobbling at all, waffling at all, say, I know I should, but. If that's in your mind at all, if there's anything in your mind except a clear signal, go that sweet presence that we felt tonight, so beautiful. I've been feeling that off and on all day. Did you feel that tonight? That wonderful presence of Jesus. If you're not walking in that, you know you're not walking in it, fast, fast, fast. You've never heard me say that, have you? Because I'm not on kicks. I'm not talking about fasting for power and prayer. I'm talking about fast until you bring your spirit into subjection. Bring yourself into subjection to what you know is right. Fasting will do that. It will do it. You can't very well fast and work, do drywall. But there's some of us in who are not doing drywall. And those who are can find other ways. You can see to it. If you feel any wobbling at all, it is that serious, people. I don't want to see you in torment, and I don't want to be in torment myself. But it's coming. For not 2, 5, 10 people. The majority of the peoples of the earth are in bad trouble today. The majority of Christians are in trouble. Especially in America. Remember concerning Christians, Jesus said, the love of the majority shall grow cold. Having known the Lord, turn back. They'll experience the wrath of God. We'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now it's up to you. Jesus said, abide in me. It's up to you. It's up to me to do that. We have to walk in him. I will say to the Lord, it's so wonderful to take words with you. Go to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Say, when you go home tonight, say, Lord, I'm not sure where I am in this thing. Tell him about it. He loves to hear our voices. Tell him about it. Say, Lord, I'm sincere. If you have to break my leg, break him. He'll take you at your word. Believe me, he will. When he said it's better to pluck out your eye, he was not speaking figuratively. It's better to have some dread disease, whether it's AIDS or what it is, and be stopped in your tracks and live a year and die in the Lord, than to live out your life without disease in this waffling. I know I should, but, and well, you know, that's no good. That's double-mindedness. That's lukewarmness. It's better, Jesus said, to cut off your hand. I said that to a fellow a couple of weeks ago. He had a hard decision to make. And he said, what should I do? And I told him, and he turned away, walked right like this. He turned back, and the tears were running out of his eyes. I said, listen, what do you think Christianity is? Good times for everybody? The Bible says if your hand offends you, cut it off. That's what God said. I said, this is serious business. You may have to go through life, never marry. And the worst thing that ever happened to anybody. Blessed are they who are eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. It's not given to everyone, but to some it is. And that isn't the end of the world. You see the way the Lord talked? Some of them said, Lord, if that's the way it is, better not to marry. Jesus didn't say, oh, I didn't mean that. He said there are some who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. it's good to take words and say them to the Lord. Sometimes we get so snarled up in our thoughts, and it's good to just get out. And if whether anybody hears you or not, I've driven around in my car that did not have air conditioning. I just recently had mine fixed. I've been 2 years in that car without any air conditioning. And I drive around in the heat in the summer thing with the windows rolled up so I can talk to the Lord without bothering the drivers next to me. I've driven the sweat pouring down my face so as not to waste the time going back and forth from work to home. So I could pray and yell and talk to the Lord. Take words. Say to the Lord, my refuge. Did you tell the Lord that recently? My fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Trust is not faith. Faith is power. Faith is the victory. Trust is when you say, God, I can't see the end out of this thing, but I trust you. I trust what you have said. I trust your character. I trust your faithfulness. And say that to the Lord, even when things look gloomy and perplexed and complex and impossible a solution. I trust you. Take words. Say, I trust you, Lord. It really helps when we get it out of our mouth. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Oh, I'm telling you, the traps are being laid today for Christian people. Oh, and they're not walking carefully. You go to a place where there are traps or snares, they're covered up with leaves, or you get a bear trap or some of these things with these big iron teeth, and they're concealed somewhere around a log or something. You don't go jumping over logs. You walk what you watch. You could just go over a log around the other side. It's a bear trap. You have to be careful how you go. You have to watch your step. And God's people go around their head, oh, la-di-da-di-da. Typical Bible book story. You know, everybody's happy and we're all doing great and aren't we sweet? And in the meanwhile, everything's late and messed up and off. The Christian business, I never saw anything like them. That's because people are giggling. You call up a Christian business, they're giggling. Consequently, the order's all fouled up. What has done that to our minds? What has made us? It is a false sense of reality. And God is trying to bring us down to reality today. So there will be people of character. Obviously, such a person is going to stumble and fall all over themselves because Satan is shrewd and he's a destroyer and he's got traps. And he's got traps for you. He wants you to burn. God will deliver you if you tell him about it. And not once on Sunday morning, but constantly. Oh, Father, deliver me, deliver me. He'll deliver you. He sees those traps. He'll spring them. But if you don't, you're going to step in them. You're going to step in them. There's one being laid for you right now. Right now, there's one being laid for you. The devil never quits. There's a trap being laid for you right now. It causes you shame and destruction to take you away from God. And you'll fall in it if you're not praying. And from the deadly pestilence. What have we got now? AIDS. What is this? Just something that happened? It is not something that happened. Look at the statistics of it. Where does it come from? People who are promiscuous. That's what they are telling us on the secular radio. And if it weren't, they wouldn't say that because that isn't doing their cause any good. But you see, they cannot relate. The basic thing, the first thing we learn in science and research is watch for relationships. Watch for relationships. That's one of the bases. Well, it is the basis of research, research where you're making certain kinds of conclusion or testing hypotheses. You look for relationships. You look for relationships. It is as plain as anything ever was. Where is it coming from? Where there is promiscuity. Where there is sexual licentiousness. What do we have? AIDS. Well, you don't have to be Einstein to put two and two together. That's a curse of God. does not mean if you get AIDS that you're cursed of God. Sometimes we have to suffer because we live in a nation that God has his hand on the nation. I'm not pointing on individuals. I'm saying God is sending things, and it's in America where it's proliferating. It's in America where the curve of incidence is going right off the graph. It's in America. Why have we been visited with this? Because of promiscuity. Because of sexual license. A dreadful thing. They say, more money for research, more money for research. As soon as they get it, be something else. Pestilence. It can strike you if you're not careful. Just saying Romans 10, 9, and 10 doesn't make you immune to AIDS. You've got to be walking in the Lord. You wake up with it in the hospital, say, why me? Why not you? Why are you or I better than anybody else? We're not better than anybody else. We're not God's pets. See, that the charismatic move breeds that thing. We're God's pets. We're not God's pets. And if we want to be spared, we've got to start seeking the Lord in a tremendous way. Because it's not going to spare you or me from AIDS unless we are adhering to the Scripture. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. There's one thing about God. He has the power. God has the wisdom and the power, and he can protect you from anything. God can create food in your stomach. If you got AIDS and had the worst case in history, God could heal it instantly. God can heal. I can't. These things are only demons and expressions of demons. God can drive them all out of you with a breath of his mouth. There's no problem with the Lord. The problem is that we don't do what he says. There's no problem with his protection. His love is there. His promises are there. But we're busy living the American life. And God says, I will not have it. You're worshiping false gods. There's no problem with the power. Under his wings you may seek refuge. How blessed it is to be able to get on our prayer bones and look up to the Lord and feel that lovely peace of Jesus and know that we are in the center of his will, and what he has told us to do, we are doing. There's nothing like it on earth. While others run around, you know, the righteous, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Go ahead and live in sin, and it's going to make you fearful. You'll be looking over your shoulder every time you turn around. Is it here yet? But the righteous are bold as a lion because they have that assurance within them that God is with them, and they are invulnerable. They are invulnerable because of the promises of God. His faithfulness. God, in one place it says he clothes himself with faithfulness as with a garment, as with a cloak. How fortunate, how blessed we are that God is faithful. Have you ever stopped to think what it would be like if God were not faithful? Have you ever considered what it would be like if God were not who he is, with the power that he has? What if God were a tyrant? What if God were unpredictable? What if God one day said, oh, I love you, you're so great, and I'm going to do everything for you, and tomorrow he went off on the other side of heaven, and you prayed, and God said, later. That's the way we are. Say, oh, God, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And then we don't. But God isn't like that. Or do you come up to the altar, and you say to a man, I'm with you till death do us part. And you say, and then 15 years later, you get another idea. See, we're unfaithful, treacherous, covenant breakers. You know, marriage vows should be changed. They really should. Because we make liars of people. And I wouldn't marry anybody unless they said the vows and said, until death! Brother, if you don't say it, don't come before me. May God judge you if you break your vow. Don't come up to get married in front of this preacher unless you are prepared for life no matter how you feel. Good, I don't want anybody to marry you today. Get on the county clerk. He'll marry you. Just give him the money. You don't have any vows. That's right. You don't have to get up, make a liar out of yourself. If you've got any doubts, don't swear before God. and then turn around. God doesn't take pleasure in that. He'll hold you to account. Someday, every one of us in this room, every one of us will sit down with Jesus, and he will explain to us our whole life and why we did what we did and the whole thing, item by item. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. The wise man prepares for that day, for it surely is coming. Surely is coming. And it won't be a friendly Jesus that we're dealing with. It will be God whom we are dealing with. God who is impartial. This you did, this you did, this you didn't do, this you didn't. God, every one of us. His faithfulness. And when God says he will do something, he will do it. He does not change. We change, but God does not change. He does exactly what he said. When he says he will cover you, he will cover you. When he says your torment will go up forever, your torment will go up forever. He is a spirit. He does not change. He does what he says. You will not be afraid. Fear is going to be... You know, how many know, and I know you know this, but it helps us every once in a while. You know that fear is worse in many cases than the thing which actually happens to us. You know, that's the truth. It is. That's not always true. There's been times I went into the dentist happily and came out a lot sorrier. It isn't exclusively true. But in many, many cases, the worst torment of all is fear. And one of the great torments of the end time is going to be fear. As we look out and the things and the dread, well, not like having, you know, coming into a time of drought or a time of famine and not knowing whether you're ever going to see any food or water again or you're ever going to be have any money again or what, God knows the things that will happen. And fear not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones, which is worse yet. This is bad in some cases as things actually happening. So one of the greatest gifts God can give us where he says you will not be afraid. And by night, there's a lot of things that we can face in the day that we cannot face at 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of things we can face at 9:30 a.m. that we cannot face at 2 a.m. That's very true. That something changes in our psychology. We become weak. And at that time, Satan attacks us. And things that we might be able to throw off in the day, we cannot throw off. And that's why it says you'll not be afraid by night. God will be with you even at the night, even at 2:30 in the morning. You wake up, you'll feel that presence. The other night, I woke up. I fell and I hurt myself. That still hurts. I've done this 3 times in my life. One was recently. I fell. I had a log under one arm and a garbage can on my back, and my foot went out from me, and I fell, and I strained something in my chest. I can feel it, you know. It's very difficult to sleep at night. Happened once when I was 12 years old, I fell on a stump. And it happened when I was 23. I was playing basketball, and some dude came down on top of me. And this is the 3rd time. And every time this happens, I know what I'm in for. And that's months of, I can feel it now when I'm trying to talk. And the other night, it was so bad, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and Audrey was off somewhere in a camp out with some of the ladies, and as they're all alone, you know. And I just got up and I said, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I sat on the edge of the bed and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I couldn't sleep. Everywhere I turn, oh, I felt like somebody was stabbing me. And I thought, what am I going to do, Lord? You know, I don't know whether I bust a rib or pull loose some tendon off my ribs or something. And I had no one here to talk to or pray for me. What am I going to do? And I sat on the edge of the bed and I said, Lord, what'll I do? The Lord said, go to sleep. So I got back in bed and I turned over on my right side and I didn't feel all that bad. And I was realized there was a man standing in the room and he was standing down through the bed. Like his feet were going right through the bed. He's very tall. I don't know whether to this day whether it was the Lord or an angel. I went right to sleep. Right to sleep. Right in the middle of the night. Praise the Lord. I woke up in the morning. But I slept the night. You know, a little pain does a person good. It kind of dresses up and brushes up the situation. Reminds you of the frailty of life. Or the arrow that flies by day. War is coming. Just as sure as God made green apples, everybody knows that. The people in Europe know it. The people in the Middle East know it. They feel it. They've been through it before. War is coming. The nations always get up like this, and then it'll take some little diddly thing will set it off. and there they'll go at it again. But God promises protection in war. Or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, the diseases, the mutations and things that are coming due to radiation. The grossness, as this Jewish person that wrote to me saw the people with scaly skin and thick skin where it had been burned. Brother Fullerton said atomic fire will burn on the earth for 7 years. Seems hard that human life will survive. It shall. It shall. But it may be a mess. It may be a little different than we understand it. Or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. People, that's a lot of destruction. 10,000 people at your right hand. How'd you like that? Be in such a situation as that. 10,000 people at your right hand. God's word means exactly what it says. He's faithful. But it shall not approach you. Why? Because that protection is around us. You will see it with your eyes. See, this teaching that we'll be up in heaven and we won't see these things is a lie. We will see it. It'll be next to us. The thing that will prevent it will not be distance. It will be the presence of the Lord. It'll be scary. God put Daniel, or let him be put in the lion's den. He saw the lions. The Lord was there. The Lord is going to be there if you serve the Lord. You will see the recompense of the wicked. This is something we've got to get used to. When we see people that are hurting, our hearts go out to them. We want to get out. We want to help them as they're trying to reap the tremendous damage. We say, oh, this is too bad. And we want to pray. We want to help them. That's human nature. It comes out of a good heart. It comes out of a naturally sympathetic and good heart. That we would want to help people, but the day comes when we will not be able to help them. And you're going to see the judgment on the wicked. We're just going to have to be in prayer that we can stand it. There'll be a day when you won't be able to help people. You will just see it, and there won't be a blessed thing you'll be able to do, but it will be an eternal lesson. This is the end of those who disobey God. And it may be people that you know. Did you ever wonder what it was like for Noah and his family when they heard their friends and neighbors beating on the sides of the ark? You know, if they could have, they would have opened that door. They're good people. They're not violent like their neighbors. They were good people. And God closed the door. Read the Bible. God closed the door. And they sat in there for, I think, 7 days before it began to rain. Doug, that must have been hard on Noah's faith. You know, he told his family, God says now's the time. After 100 and some years, they went in and they sat there and no rain. You know, when in a time like that, 7 days is a long time. Dad, is it raining yet? What are we doing in here, Dad? Can we go out and play? No, son. God closed the door. There's no rain, Dad. Noah says, I know it already. I know it already. Will you shut your mouth? And then pitter-patter, pitter-patter. And then a steady thrumming. And then pretty soon, Noah, Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, help us, help us. Our livestock are gone. We can't stand this. It's going up. We can't get ahead of this thing. Open the door. It's coming. It's coming. Only with your eyes. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, your dwelling place, where you live and move. Because of this, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you. He talks to them. He talks to those angels. You know, they're intelligent creatures, and they're mighty, and they're powerful, and they have endless energy and tremendous wisdom. And he says to them your name. He says, that fellow down there, that Stan Josephson, take care of him. And they're intelligent creatures. And they remember that name. And they go down there and they look for that person. And they say, he is not to be hurt. He will give his angels charge to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. That's the thing, they're going to be everywhere. So you're walking on sin, hell, you're going to be walking on it, treading on it. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. And this, brother, sister, will work in the midst of the great tribulation. It will not change. If fire were in place of rain, and there were no water, and there were no food, was no food or water. The point is, this word will hold true for whoever fits the description. Stand on it, believe it. Shall we stand? Lord, we come unto you tonight. Almighty Father, we have spoken your words, Lord, that you have written in your book. We have not entertained the people with our notions. We have not said things, Lord, that are nice. We have painted, Lord, a picture that the book of Revelation paints, that Zephaniah paints, and the other prophets, Habakkuk. Lord, we know it's coming, and we know this is the day. Lord God, I pray if there's anyone in this room whose heart is wandering from the Lord their God, that you will cause them not to leave this church tonight until they say, my Father, I'm sorry. I don't want the smoke of my torment to go up forever. I don't want to be, because I realize that what Jesus has said, Jesus will do. He is not syrupy, indulgent, sympathetic, soft. He is a spirit, and he will do what he has said. Lord, oh God. Maybe there's someone tonight that needs to come to the altar. If you do, you come. You come. I tell you, I would if I felt in my heart that I didn't have it right up to speed and was praying and waiting upon the God and humble in his presence. You can come up to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. If it takes it, I will fast. I will do what is necessary. But I am not going to take a chance on being among those who are trying to die and can't die, as you have said. If you're here tonight, you need prayer. Whoever comes up tonight, I'll lay hands on you and pray. Not that I can do any good, but just pray that God will confirm your resolution to seek him. Don't drift, people. Father, Lord God of heaven, we have preached out of the Bible tonight, Lord. We have said the words of God in faithfulness, Lord, to your people. We have said your words faithfully, Lord. Now we pray that many, Lord, that will take heed, and Lord, that all of us will bear a true witness among our friends and neighbors and our families in this holiday season. We will not convey ease. We will not convey business as usual. But by our manner, Lord, we will convey the truth of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Make us witnesses, Lord. Make us witnesses. of God, of what He is saying to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We cry unto Thee, Lord, this night. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Make us witnesses, Lord, during this holiday season. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray. Lord, confirm. Lord, the strength of God in His soul, that He may not in any way waver, Lord, for nothing. Create a clear vision. Hallelujah. Put Your might upon Him, Lord, and conform Him, Lord, and compel Him, Lord, to do Thy will. Strengthen and confirm in the name of Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah.